A major question facing the United States government was whether to give land to the freed people. Shall we give them land? Should we give them land? This would have avoided the problems of having others have to look after their welfare to such a significant degree. Now, abolitionists and others in the North argued from the beginning, you have to do this. We must give them land. We can't just say they're free. We have to give them a means of economic support. By the end of the war, about 20% of the land under Union control in the South was being farmed independently by black people, including a great deal of land that had been owned by Jefferson Davis and his brother Joseph Davis along the Mississippi River. Much of their former holdings was in the hands of their former slaves and being farmed by them. Now, black people, together with their abolitionists, white abolitionists, and radical Republican allies in the North, said this is a great solution to the problem. Give us land. If only you'll give us land, we will be able to sustain ourselves. We won't be so dependent on you. You won't have to worry about us to the degree that you do if we don't have land. This is a great solution to the problem, or at least a good start toward building a future where we will be landowning, contributing members of Southern society. This is what we want. Without land, they argued, we'll never truly be free. And the abolitionists and radicals agreed with them. But many in the North opposed handing over land to black people, as they put it. Speculators wanted to exploit the land themselves. They wanted a cheap source of black labor to work the land rather than a vigorous class of black landowners. Speculators didn't want a black yeomanry. They wanted laborers. In the Sea Islands off the Carolina and Georgia coasts, for example, where much land became available, black people got about 5,000 acres. Speculators got about 20,000 acres. And unfortunately, that was usually about the proportion. Lincoln further muddied the waters. In 1862, and we've talked about this before, he said that property could be confiscated from rebel owners only for the life of that owner, not indefinitely. Well, that raises the question, if that land is seized and black people end up farming it and then the owner dies, what happens to the land then? Does it go to the owner's descendants? What is the eventual disposition of that land? Lincoln then went on in December of 1863 and said that any Confederate who took the oath of allegiance would have all of his property except slave property restored to him. So again, Lincoln is getting right in the middle of this question of what to do with confiscated and seized lands. Lincoln's last, his December 1863 pronouncement, provoked one radical Republican to observe, if the president can restore to these traitors all their rights to the land, the Confiscation Act is a farce and the war will have been a gigantic failure. In 1864, radical Congressman George W. Julian of Indiana offered a bill that would have made the Homestead Act applicable to abandoned and confiscated lands in the Confederacy. The Homestead Act, we'll talk about that later, but very quickly now, was passed in 1862, and it made available to settlers, male or female, 160 acres if they would live on it and improve it for 5 years. At the end of that 5 years, the land would belong, this is government land, would belong to the settler. Julian is saying, let's apply a version of this to the South. He would have given each head of a freed family, each Confederate Unionist, and each Union veteran 40 or 80 acres of confiscated land. But the closest Congress came to this, Julian's bill did not pass. The closest Congress came was in March 1865 when it created the Freedmen's Bureau. Part of this legislation said that any freed person or unionist could lease 40 acres of abandoned or confiscated land with an option to buy it after 3 years. Even before this, William Tecumseh Sherman had put into practice his own land redistribution program. It's ironic, Sherman was a deeply racist man who cared nothing at all for the welfare of black people, really. That simply was not anything he was concerned about. But he was concerned about the fact that thousands of black refugees had attached themselves to his army as he marched across Georgia. and toward the Carolinas and into the Carolinas, and he wanted to be shed of all of those civilians who were trailing his army, and so he came up with a plan. He met with a group of black leaders who told him that what they wanted was land, and if they had land, they would be able to have a good chance of making it on their own.